Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB digital radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.
Now, though, to a CEO interview. It's just over 6 months since the work from home guidance was lifted in the UK in the wake of the pandemic. Three quarters of employers now do offer hybrid working, according to the health insurer Vitality. Britain's bosses say that work from home has helped productivity, but means challenges in supporting staff with their health and well-being. This, of course, amid Britain's cost of living crisis and also a record 6.6 million people waiting for NHS hospital care in England. Joining us now, I'm pleased to say, is Vitality UK CEO Neville Cooperwitz. Neville, welcome back to Bloomberg Radio. Thanks so much for coming on again. It's about a year, actually, since our last conversation about health in the UK. So I actually wonder, kind of big picture, how does Vitality see our health in Britain having recovered from the pandemic?
So thank you, Caroline, and thanks for having me back. I guess the research that we've conducted, which just to clarify, is a survey of over 300 executives, as well as surveying 2,000 UK office workers to try gain more insights around how the health of the nation is, firstly, and the impact of hybrid work on employee well-being. If I start with the health, it's very much a mixed picture. The research shows that around a third say their mental health, fitness levels, nutrition, and happiness has improved, but almost the same number say they've seen these elements decline. From our own data, it wasn't until May 2022 that we saw physical exercise levels get back to what they were pre-pandemic within our ridership membership base. So in terms of the actual health, it's obviously very, very difficult to monitor. I think what's more important is this this real head scratcher that everyone, I think, is grappling with around the impact of hybrid working on employee health and well-being. And we've seen some a lot of variance or variability amongst how employers are actually dealing with this. But the one common theme is that businesses have to accept and are accepting this new way of working, but are really grappling with how to execute it.
Well, I mean, working from home presenting quite a lot of challenges now, where hybrid is the norm for so many workers, as we've been saying. What does that mean from your business's point of view? What are the changes that employers and employees are looking for in their services from a provider like Vitality?
Well, I think the first thing is that we really are seeing the recalibration of the relationship between employer and employee. We've got to sort of understand fundamentally that the workplace is no longer a workplace, but rather be focusing on employees versus the workplace. And what we're seeing is that, you know, the hybrid working model has got some really, really positives to it, but also we want to tread with caution in terms of the long-term effects of making sure that people interact enough, especially around their mental well-being, physical activity. So it's getting the balance right. What we're doing is and encouraging organizations to do is to use data to drive their decisions. You know, a one size doesn't fit all. The real challenge that organizations are facing is how managers are dealing with their staff in this hybrid working model. As I said, one size doesn't fit all. You need the data to understand each individual, mm-hmm. how we assist them in their health and well-being.
Yeah. I think that's really, really fascinating, isn't it? We are having to kind of embed hybrid working models now. And, all of that is sort of being decided as we speak. So I think that's fascinating. But on Vitality's business itself, you know, we're just coming to the end of earnings season, Neville. A lot of businesses talking about price pressures, input costs going up, wages in particular in Britain are rising. I mentioned the NHS too. Is your business under price pressure in order to kind of deliver the services that you do?
Well, what we've tried very deliberately during the pandemic is actually keep our prices as low as possible. Fortunately, we've been able to manage medical inflation at the levels that they have been. We are obviously concerned about going forward, the input costs around medical services, and obviously that has a direct impact on what people are going to be paying. But we've introduced a lot of initiatives and interventions that can actually help bring down the cost of healthcare. And more importantly, also created a significant shift to more primary care services like mental well-being services, virtual GP consultations that can actually assist our members as well.
What magnitude of price pressures are you facing from input costs?
At the moment, you know, the medical inflation, it's typically always been above the consumer price index. And a lot of that is due to the advances in medical technology and the introduction of new, more expensive interventions and drugs. But we are trying desperately, as I said, to actually keep that that down. And it also takes time for this to trickle into the system. So we are expecting probably towards the end of the year, beginning of next year, hospitals increase their prices on an annual basis, drug companies, etc. All of the input costs will increase. And I think there's also issues around some challenges around supply of these from a supply perspective. But we are desperately trying to keep ourselves at a medical inflation increase that is manageable. It's very difficult to actually give a number, but it certainly is going up.
On the mental health issue that you've raised, has mental health become worse over the pandemic, or are we more aware of it given the kind of public attention?
So it's actually it's a great question, because I think it's actually a tale of two cities in a way. I think, as I said earlier, one size doesn't fit all. So we've actually seen people who have told us that their mental well-being has actually been improved because they've now been able to balance work and home and childcare and the likes thereof by having a hybrid working. And that's probably typically more at a family level where people are interacting with their families, but they're spending more time with their families. But then on the other end of the spectrum, you know, you've got young people coming into the workplace, possibly for the first time, being a little bit isolated. And we certainly felt that and saw that, where the conditions, you know, during lockdown were not great for people living on their own, cooped up in rooms, trying to use that as their home, their office. So we saw quite a significant increase in the utilization of mental well-being benefits that we do offer. So I guess it's, as I said, you know, it's this really isn't a one-size-fits-all. And that, I think, is what the biggest challenge that we're all facing with is how do we actually put interventions in place that cater for the entire workforce.
Bloomberg Daybreak Europe, weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on London DAB Digital Radio and on demand via the Bloomberg Business app and BloombergRadio.com.